This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Let's pray. Give us grace, O Lord, not only to hear your word with our ears, but also to receive it into our hearts and to show it forth in our lives. For the glory of your great name. Amen. Please do be seated. Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. Now that is, of course, the famous opening of the epic TV series Star Trek, which was sort of on in the 60s and 70s and then got a reboot in the 90s. So that may have missed your generation by, if you're one of the intervening ones. But the crew of the Enterprise, just to give you a summary, didn't know exactly where they were going each week or what they were going to find. They were on a continuing mission of exploration. But the most memorable word in the whole statement for me is the word boldly. It's partly because, as an English teacher, I can't help noticing it's a grammatical mistake. It should technically be to go boldly or boldly to go. It's a mistake called a split infinitive. But if the grammar is wrong, the poetry is right. It just sounds right where it is, doesn't it? The crew needed to boldly go because they didn't know what they might find, whether that be a friend or a foe. Now, this coming year, I'm calling us as a church to be bold in sharing Christ as salt and light. Each week for this past year, we've been praying this. We're going to pray it again today. Give us the boldness to share Christ with our neighbours as salt and light. Give us the boldness. If the Starship Enterprise were to boldly go, the Church of St. Mark's, Darling Point, is to boldly share Christ. That's our continuing mission. That's why we exist. Not to share Christ timidly or shyly or from time to time or whenever it's convenient, but with boldness, with courage and conviction, with determination, with intestinal fortitude, ready to take risks and to trust in the power and goodness of God. That was the prayer of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, that remarkable passage that we had read for us earlier. They prayed to God that he would enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They needed that prayer because no doubt they did not feel very bold at that time. And I have to say, I immediately react to the word bold. I don't like it. It challenges and confronts me because I don't feel very bold in sharing Christ. And there are lots of reasons not to be bold in sharing Christ as salt and light. Now, I did one of those pop quizzes on my Facebook page where I asked people what stops them from being bold to share Christ. And I had well over 100 comments. It was a very interesting discussion. But the responses boiled down to two things. Firstly, I don't know what to say. People just think we don't really know what it is, how are we going to respond? How can we introduce Jesus into the conversation? I'm not bold, we say, because I don't know how to raise the subject and I don't know how to answer people's questions. Jesus and church just don't automatically come up in conversation. So how do I share Christ in a natural way that doesn't seem weird? I don't want to be like a fanatic after all. So that's, I don't know what to say. The second one is, I don't want to be rejected. It's kind of related to the first. I don't know what to say, and I don't want to be rejected. And we have to admit there's a degree of hostility towards Christians and churches around, partially justified, partly unjustified. One popular media narrative is that Christians are the bad guys and girls. We are the problem rather than the solution. Christians, people say, are more likely to be anti-science, Trump-supporting, climate change denying, whatever villainy you choose. Or maybe they've had a personal experience of church which has turned them off. But sometimes It's just not pleasant to ask someone to church and have them say no, is it? I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to ask someone and for them to have an awkward time where they think of an excuse. Perhaps then we should not boldly go, but rather meekly stay. Keep our heads down, our mouths shut, follow Christ, and hope that people notice. But I want to change our minds on this. I want us to gather up our courage and start to believe what we pray. And we've got four great reasons to be bold. Firstly, the command of Jesus is great. Secondly, the need is great. Thirdly, the message is great. And fourthly, our God is great. Our command is great. We have a great command, or a great commission, as people call it. And it's Jesus' command to his disciples to share his name. When he farewelled them at the end of Matthew's gospel, after he'd been raised from the dead, he gave them what the great commission: go and make disciples of all nations. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter reminds us that we've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light so that we might declare the praises of the one who brought us in that way to those who are still in the darkness. This is our continuing mission. Jesus has called us to boldly share his name through all the earth. That is why he has gathered us, to make his name great. Our command is great, but the need is great too. Let's not beat around the bush here. Without Christ, people are lost and without real hope in the world. Without Christ, they face the judgment of God with their sins and nothing to cover them. People around us might look like they are the masters of the universe, but they are destined to face the judgment of God, as all human beings are. The eastern suburbs, on a good day, perhaps not today, but many days, is filled with sunshine and sparkling blue water. It looks like a place filled with bright light. But you don't have to scratch very far to find that it is a lost and dark place, with a foolish hope in material things, in pleasure, and in human status. We know this. We see it all around us all the time. Yet we gather, weird people that we are, in this building week by week, this building that points above us and says, the world you cling to is not all there is. This tells us what we need to know, that there is a higher reality. And we need to see it. People need to see it, or they are lost. The need is great, but the message is great, indeed greater still. The gospel of Jesus Christ is surpassingly more than we need. It is a goodness in massive abundance. We have the words of eternal life. It's an extraordinary offering. It is life and health and peace. I was listening to the great Australian writer Helen Garner's new book this week. It's on the mushroom trial. And she was talking about the faith of the Baptist pastor at the centre of that trial, Ian Wilkinson. He was the victim, one of the victim that survived. And she noted his calm assurance and his offer of forgiveness. And she was trying to describe to the other people in her, it's a conversation now, I was listening to the book, and it's Helen Garner and two other people. And she was trying to describe to the two other people, who are not religious at all, what it's like to have faith. Helen Garner is a Christian. And she said, I was in church with Tim Winton once, and we were singing Charles Wesley's hymn, And Can It Be? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. And Helen Garner said, at that point, at that line, the congregation didn't sing it. They shouted for joy. My chains fell off. And she said, you would, wouldn't you? If you believed that, then you would shout for joy. If you felt that all the burdens of sin and guilt and shame, of sorrow, despair and regret had been lifted from your shoulders. And that this was not just a personal reality, but a cosmic reality. You would shout for joy, for the gospel is great news. You know, I wonder if we grasp just how great it is. It's an extraordinary message. When you go on a holiday to a great place, you come back and you say, oh, I tell you what, such and such is just fantastic. Sweden, you got to go to Sweden. Here's my Instagram photos. It's fantastic. We do that, don't we? We have something far greater than Sweden. Apologies to any Swedes here. I wasn't going to say that about Denmark. We have something far greater than any destination in the world. And yet, too rarely, we say, you got to know Jesus Christ. It's the best thing since sliced bread. You've really got to experience that feeling of your chains falling off. But not only is the gospel great, our God is great. He is mighty to save by the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. New life the dead receive. And that means this is not an added burden that we ought to be bold in sharing Christ that we have to carry out alone. It's not that we have to summon up courage from within ourselves, timid folks that we are. It means rather we are like surfers riding the waves at Bondi Beach. We only have to catch the wave and ride it of the great power of God's Holy Spirit. We saw that in Acts chapter 4 too, that they were filled with the remarkable power of God's Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God is powerfully at work in the world and can turn the hardest heart soft, can make the most resistant person turn to Jesus Christ. In my ministry here at St. Mark's, I've seen the most remarkable works of God's Spirit in the hearts of people I never would have expected to become Christians. People who I thought had every reason to be as resistant as possible. Hard-bitten rationalists. People who had ideological commitments that made them apparently hostile to Jesus Christ and the church. People who were completely apathetic. There's reports of a quiet revival going on amongst younger people in the United Kingdom from a generation who have very little knowledge of Christ. Remarkable thing, people, younger people coming back to church. We've noticed something of that here in the eastern suburbs too. With our mission partners at Living Water, if you were at the dinner the other day, God is powerfully at work bringing Indigenous people from darkness to light. Last week we heard from Focus Mandarin that eight students have come to know Jesus Christ this year with the help of our support, but with the work that they're doing there. And here at St. Mark's, at our Discover courses this year, we had an average of 82 people come. And we've had 9 people make professions of faith so far this year. God is at work here. His Spirit is powerful. Be bold then, for we have a great command. There is a great need, we have great news, and our God is a great God to achieve his purposes. And because these 4 truths, these 4 solid truths are real, we are going to commit to doing 3 things as we seek to boldly share Christ. We're going to pray, we're going to care, and we're going to share. Pray. That's our continuing mission. Pray, care, share. We have to start with prayer. It's where the apostles started because we're completely dependent on God's Spirit to soften the hearts of our friends and families towards Jesus. This is not a human task. It's a divine one. We want to catch the wave. So we're going to pray bold prayers, not half-hearted, boring, tepid, lame prayers, but bold prayers. Daring prayers for our community and for the world. We're going to bring before God not just those who might come to church, but those who most, in human terms, most assuredly will not. We're going to continue to pray each week as we've been doing this year at 7:45. It's a Zoom meeting there for 15 minutes on Tuesdays. I'd love you to join us. Pop in. You don't have to come every week, of course, but worth investing that 15 minutes for an eternal dividend as we pray for our church in its sharing of Christ boldly. And I want us all to think of three people who we can be praying for regularly that they might come to know Jesus Christ. And you might even now be thinking of, who are those three people that I'm going to just pray for, pray that they might come to know Christ in the next little while? So start with prayer and then boldly care. Did you hear the testimony of EB from Focus Mandarin Church last week? He's become a Christian this year. He's from the northwest of China, where the only religious signs were there were mosques there, but it's a communist country. He came to Australia and he came to a Christian community, a church community. He was not a Christian, but he saw how the church community cared for one another and for him. And when he saw how they cared, he wanted to know more. He wanted to know what they believed, because they clearly lived what they believed. He was not just a project to them, he was a person. They not only believe the gospel at Focus Mandarin, they act as though it is true. The power of our shared life and our welcome will speak massively about the one we follow. Our hospitality, our pastoral care, our questions of concern for people, the text message that we send, that light touch that actually tells people that we are supporting them, our mutual support and caring, our willingness to forgive one another when things are tough and reconcile, our genuine community, these ought to be of the highest standard. We ought to aspire to being great in our caring for one another and for those who join us. This vision cuts against two powerful mentalities in our community at the moment. The first is the isolationist tendency of the zeitgeist, that we stay at home and doom scroll and don't get committed or connected to anybody. That is a powerful social pattern at the moment. So we have to do everything we can to counter it. But then there's the eastern suburbs mentality, that we just outsource everything. You know that mentality, whether that be childcare or dog walking or doing your taxes or whatever. You can't outsource care, can you? We can't get someone in to do it for us. We have to do it. You can only do it firsthand. You can only experience it firsthand, by the way. But if we're worried about seeming weird or inauthentic, then keep on caring. I found it one of the greatest compliments when someone has said to me, happens occasionally, "I know you're a Christian, but you're a surprisingly good bloke." The image of what they think a Christian is being challenged by the reality of what a Christian actually is, and in a good way. I think if we actually genuinely care for people, this will be the case over and over again. To back this up, in our third term, we're going to be looking at the great one another's of the New Testament, the bold vision that the New Testament has of life together, of a new community, mutually engaged with one another, joined together, united by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to boldly share Christ. So we're going to pray, we're going to care, and we're going to share. We've made great strides in 2024, many, many more people coming to our Discover courses than before, including people who just saw the signs on the street and came in. Our Discover courses are a great way to bring someone into contact with the gospel, to hear the word of life in community. We'll be running those again at least three times during the day and twice at night. And we're going to boldly share... we're boldly seeking to commit $118,000 of our budget for next year for our Reaching Out ministry. We're going to commit $50,000 to supporting the public ministry in the wider community that we're well known for. We're commending Jesus in the public square with all the opportunities that we have, unique opportunities we have here at St. Mark's, and also $106,000 to supporting ministries like Focus and Living Water. But we're also going to get trained in sharing Christ.
in knowing what to say and how to respond to questions. That was one of the things that came up in our strategy day in August. There's a number of people said, we really want to be trained in how to share Christ. Can you help us? And so we're going to do that. We're going to commit to doing that next year. We'll be hearing from the book of Acts in term two, and we'll be running events that are great ways to introduce people to church, events that we already do with the Friends of St. Mark's, with the choir concert. There's a choir concert next week at 2 o'clock. And of course, we have our gingerbread event this afternoon. And with all, we have more contact with people not in church than almost any other church I know. You could perhaps cathedrals have what we have. We have such a great contact with our community, especially again through our baptism ministry, through our wedding ministry, and through our funeral ministry. These are extraordinary opportunities that we have if only we are bold enough to step forward and embrace the great command of Jesus. What else do we need to do? Well, 2026 is going to be a year of new things and new people. We've already been bold in appointing Nikita Saltis to a new role next year as Youth and Children's Minister full-time. Way back in August, it was just a prayer. I think a bold prayer. Can we appoint a full-time Youth and Children's Minister in 2026? Before we knew it, we had a number of people stepping forward to invest their money for this role, to make it a possibility for the next 3 years. It's a remarkable answer to prayer. We're united in our desire to see more young people and kids in our church, and we've been bold to make that happen. Praise God. We've been bold in appointing Johnny Wintle, who's going to be joining us next year as our new assistant minister. We've given him a particular brief to work with young adults and also to help us be bold in growing in Christ. But we also need to be bold in other ways too. We need to think of our buildings as part of our strategy for sharing Christ, this great continuing mission we have. This building here is a fantastic advertisement for Christianity, for church, pointing up as it does. But do our other facilities do this? Do our kitchen facilities really serve our mission? I don't think that they do. Our office space is non-existent. We don't have enough meeting rooms or spaces for pastoral care for people in crisis. Our properties need costly maintenance, and we have other valuable properties that yield very poor returns. Do our toilets, our kitchens, our office spaces, our pastoral care spaces reflect what we aspire to be under God? To be honest, we're trying to do 2020s ministry in 1980s facilities. Stewarding our resources will not mean hoarding them, as we saw in the parable, but using them, investing wisely but boldly. We know what we need to do to make these things work, and we're working hard. I know the parish council, wardens and ministry team are working very hard. We just don't have the resources to make it happen at the moment. We need to take some bold action here. It won't be without risk, but we cannot bury our resources in the ground and imagine that that is faithfulness to what God has called us to. Imagine, though, a church that speaks of Christ with courage and steady conviction. Imagine a church whose hospitality disarms people, whose care is unmistakably genuine, whose giving matches its prayers, whose ministries to children and young people are overflowing, whose baptisms and confirmations are the normal rhythms of the year, richly celebrated when they come. Imagine a church that becomes known not for its buildings or for its postcode or for the fact that Elton John got married here, but for the clarity of its witness and the depth of its love. This is not a fantasy. It's simply what happens when ordinary Christians take the word of Jesus Christ seriously and trust the Spirit of God to do what only He can do. So I'm asking us all, very plainly, be bold in your prayers. Be bold. Be bold in your care. Be bold in your witness. And be bold in how you deploy your time and your resources for the sake of the great message we have. Because the command of Christ is great. The need of our city is great. The gospel we carry is great, and the God who goes before us is great. So let's step forward together under God. Let us take up our part in Christ's mission, and let us boldly go where he sends us. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.